My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Great Brazilian team. Count, it's there. They're ahead.
It's one of the biggest sporting events in the world. And today, we're giving you an inside look at the teams and playoff pictures to date.
As we present Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
It's on here now. The goalkeeper's beaten. And South Africa have their first goal.
Listen as Jason Longshore gives you all the latest in the world of soccer.
As we break down the matchups and get you insights you can only find here.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. Atlanta Soccer Tonight is live. Special edition on 92.9, The Game and the Odyssey app. Live from Reverb by Hard Rock, right across the street from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And the party changed tone really quickly this evening as the U.S. men's national team lost to Panama 2-1. There are a million talking points in this game. I got some reinforcements coming in. You're going to hear some audio from the mix zone and from the press conferences as we go tonight. But we're going to start things off on the show with Jessica Charman calling in, because this is a game that requires a lot of breakdown. It was hectic. It was chaotic. There are a lot of flashpoints in it. There's a ton of different things to talk about. But here's the thing that you can't dispute. Right now, as Uruguay and Bolivia kick off in the Copa America this evening, Panama has a better chance of advancing to the knockout rounds than the United States. And Jess, we talked about it before the tournament started. Getting to the knockout rounds was the bar for the U.S. men's national team. If they don't get there after this loss, what does this mean for the future of Greg Berhalter and his program going into 2026?
I think it means that it's game over, honestly, when you look at it, because you're coming up to the biggest event on U.S. soil, and the World Cup is where the U.S. wants to make a statement about the development of the game in this country, and they want to make sure there's respect on the United States men's national team's name. You know, the women have carried the pillar of respect across the world for so long, and this was the men's opportunity to step up. And unfortunately, right now, with the performance in Copa America and poor mental performances stepping into the game, not being able to face the adversity, playing on home soil with what looked like an amazing crowd on the TV rooting for you, it's a disappointment. Were some things going against the US? Yeah. But at the end of the day, you've got to be able to buckle down. And the thing that was almost making me chuckle a little bit was, even when the game was tied, talking about needing just a result, a tie against Uruguay, seemed kind of disrespectful to the quality of opponent the U.S. is going to have to play in Uruguay. And I think what this sets up is a must-win game against a tough competition. If they're able to turn the screw against Uruguay, what a statement that would be about the U.S. and their bounce-back ability.
Yeah, and you're going to have to find that because, look, this game changed dramatically in about a five-minute span when Matt Turner was collided with recklessly, very recklessly.
Terrible. The goalkeeper in me could not believe that this wasn't even shown a yellow card, correct? It was just ignored. It's stunning to me that this is not looked at as a foul, as a reckless foul. I mean, I'm all for the development of the way we call goalkeepers because I do think there's a tendency in the past to overprotect. But it's almost like we've gone the other way here where strikers are allowed to challenge for everything. And a 50-50 is one thing. This isn't even close to 50-50. The guy's got absolutely zero chance of getting the ball. And you just see the landing for Turner. I mean, I haven't heard yet what they're looking at in terms of the injury, but that landing did not look good. And I was surprised to see him play on until the halftime break.
Yeah, leg contusion is what was said on Fox. I have not gotten an update yet from downstairs. Our friends Madison Cruz, John Nelson, Tyler Pilgrim, all still at the stadium with the press conferences and mixed zones. And we'll keep you posted as we get more news. The landing was awful. It's a moment where I want to come back to it because it's not the headline, but I do think it factors into one of the biggest headlines, and that's Tim Weah with a very dumb decision in the world of VAR to get caught with a swing and how much contact he made. Look, I don't know. You can't open that door to VAR and take a first half red card that early in the match, which changed everything for the U.S.
Listen, I don't care if there's not much contact. The rules are the rules, right? And mm-hmm. you swing and it's towards the head and it's not even a slap. It's a closed arm thing. It's a silly thing. The guy's probably talking trash. The guy is looking to make them bite. And the unfortunate thing is, and we heard the commentators talk about it, this is something that's been talked about in the locker room. Don't let the style of play get into your head. Don't let any cheap shots at who you are get into your head. Look, they're going to maybe kick at you. There may be these moments. And I think that what you were sort of hinting at was perhaps a bit of retaliation in the fact that you've just seen your goalkeeper, a player that you respect, that you care for, get absolutely upended. And sometimes when you see those things not be punished, you think that maybe you're going to get a little bit more leeway with the referee. But in the VAR era, like you say, Jason, any sort of contact to the head should be, and I know the case isn't always the way. We've seen some headbutts that haven't been punished with red cards, but that's nonetheless not important in this moment. You just can't do it. And I saw The Athletic just published an article now that he's gone into the locker room and apologized to his guys. And it's frustrating because it feels like that's two dumb decisions in big tournaments by important players now that have almost, you know, have become costly.
Yeah. And look, I'm with you because I said it very strongly to anybody who would listen before this tournament started. The U.S. had to get out of the group, and it's a group that they should look at and say, this is what we should do. We should get out of the group. Anything beyond that depends on how things fall in the tournament. Greg Berhalter's job is on the line now in a match against Uruguay where they're going to be the underdogs, and they should be the underdogs in that. It's not purely on Berhalter as to why his job is on the line. And the players have to be questioned in this, and Tim Weah has to be questioned in this. Plays in Serie A, plays at a top club. He's been there. He's done that.
And I think that's what, like, look, he's 24 years old. I get that he's a young guy in terms of
age. It's not that young.
But
yeah.
Nowadays, yeah, it's not the player you're expecting that moment for. He has to be more composed. He is a professional. He has caps to his name. And I did some digging. This is only his second career red card. He got one playing in the domestic leagues in France. But this has got to be the worst moment of his career in this because of the way the result ended up panning out. And when he saw his team go ahead, he probably thought, oh, thank goodness they bailed me out. And as he watched Panama claw their ways back, he knew that he was going to be the headline. And unfortunately, it's a headline where I've seen some people try and defend and call the red card soft. And I get it. Maybe there's some acting there or maybe some overplaying of the contact. But at the end of the day, we all know the rules. And I think that if this had maybe happened at the beginning of the VAR era where you're just getting used to it, when you know, the game changed when VAR got introduced. Things that you maybe got away with behind the runner play, behind the ball, started to get looked at. And I just can't believe a player that has his experience, his understanding, his knowledge of this VAR era thought that he might get away with it. It's just a shame because I feel bad for the guy. I think he's a likable character, but this is a tarnish on his record right now. And if I'm Greg Berhalter, I'm shrugging my shoulders a bit like, what did you want me to do? Like I can't control that.
It's a special edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight after the U.S. men's national team loses 2-1 to Panama at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And now advancement in the Copa America is in serious doubt. It's going to take a win over Uruguay, and that might not even be enough depending on goal differential. Everything is thrown into chaos after this result. And look, speaking of chaos, it's Jason Longshore alongside Jessica Charman. We bring the chaos whenever we get a chance to talk soccer on 92.9 The Game. But also bringing the chaos tonight, the referee, and we have to talk about him a little bit here, Yvonne Barton. He's a known factor in bringing chaos. He has been spotted on video at a World Cup in 2022 yelling at Senegal players to shut up. He has, in his time refereeing U.S. men's national team games, as he's from El Salvador and has worked in CONCACAF for quite a while, 7 reds in his last 4 games with the U.S. men's national team. The foul count tonight, 19 fouls by Panama, 3 cards shown. 4 fouls committed by the U.S., 3 cards shown, one of them being the Tim Weah red card. It was a factor, and it was a very CONCACAF match in the CONMEBOL Copa America. But you would think at this point, Jess, and look, I know you've seen these games in this region, in South America. It's different than Europe. It's different than you get some of the feel in the European Championships for sure. But the U.S. has to handle these kinds of situations better. There's not really an excuse for not managing the chaos better.
And look, even at the level I played at, you know, in the Women's Premier League, in the college game in the U.S., you got scouting reports on referees. You know the sort of referee. Or when you saw a familiar face, you knew. You know the guys that are going to have a bit of banter with you. You know the guys that are going to let the bar be slightly higher. And these are professional soccer players that have, you know, analysts within their team that help them on these things. There's no doubt in conversations before this game about what you might expect from the referee, about what you might expect from Panama as an opponent. You know, the gamesmanship in moments. There's no excuses for me in letting the referee have that impact on the game. You have to adjust slightly the way you play. And I mean, Carter Vickers in that second half was driving me crazy. I mean, listen, it's a terrible, terrible dive for the penalty that obviously wasn't.
Yes.
But what are you doing jumping in that way? And it's the second time he's done it. There was another time right before where the guy nutmegged him and then he lunges inside the penalty box. I just can't understand how you witness the way this referee's refereeing the game and then you give him an opportunity to blow his whistle by going down to ground in that manner. I thought he was an example of a player that just didn't seem switched on in this game and realized what the magnitude of the moment he stepped into was.
Michele Giannone of Today NA just tweeted out a little bit ago that Matt Turner, on his way through the mixed zone after the match, said his status is unclear for the Uruguay match on Monday. So he's positive that he'll be able to play, but he's not sure yet. Needs to see how his left knee responds. He also said, quote, "Don't know why, but I had this feeling before the match that something bad was going to happen." Oh. Well, when you have this ref and you have this matchup, yeah, these are the things that happen in these kinds of games. We said it coming into this tournament. Panama wasn't going to play afraid of the United States, and they did not. And they got the game played on their terms. Now, I want to get to one more thing before we go to break here in the first segment. Jess is going to hang out for one more segment as we break down everything from the United States loss 2-1 to Panama. The game changed multiple times and the U.S. had to adjust to it, and I thought they did at points. They did a good job. There was a point in the match, especially in the second half, where keeping the 1-1 was absolutely mission critical. It overrode the idea of playing 10v11 and going out and finding that goal, because a draw in this match keeps you alive in a pretty comfortable way to deal with Monday. You're looking at goal differential. You've got to keep it tight. Blowing that result and giving up the goal that they did, that's kind of the unforgivable part for me, Jess, in that you lost the result, and now you have to go not get a draw against Uruguay on Monday. You got to go beat maybe the team that's played the best in the tournament up to this point.
It's game management, isn't it? It's the game management and soccer IQ. And the finger pointing at Greg Berhalter, this probably is a moment where he can put his hands up and say, I should have been urging my players into that mindset a little bit more. That conversation might could have been emphasized a little bit more.
Honestly, I think he did everything he could. He went to a 5-3-1, which, you know, I'm sure some people were probably yelling about. I think he had to at halftime. Carter Vickers was poor when he came in. He was poor. And in that moment, I thought Anthony Robinson was about as good of a player as the U.S. had on the field. And he made a big mistake in that sequence. They couldn't clear. He didn't put it in the stands, turned it over.
Put your foot. The goalkeeper and me was screaming as well. And I wonder if Matt Turner's in goal. Maybe he communicates a little bit more. Because I think you've got to be holding your back line accountable. If my defenders, and I think Robinson had a couple actually where he kind of didn't just whack it. And listen, is it ugly? Is it route one? Yeah. But in this moment, all you care about is not turning the ball back over in a dangerous area. Just welly the ball out of play. Just knock it long. Just give it back to them in their back line and say, break us down. Find an opportunity. But to play the ball clear along the ground back to Panama, it's just unforgivable in that moment. And I think that's where soccer IQ of players needs to be a little smarter. It doesn't always have to be pretty in these moments. It's just about survival when it comes to grinding out a result, particularly when you're backed against the ball with a deficit in players. But also, and this isn't to be too critical of Hobart, but with a backup goalkeeper in,
yep,
you need to protect them that much more, because it's so tough. There's been a goalkeeper that's been subbed in off an injury. It's hard to get up to the run of play. It's hard when you haven't mentally prepared properly that you're going to get a chance to come in. He should have been better protected. And listen, people are going to point fingers at him in goal for the save. Probably, maybe, once he gets there, wants to do a little better. But from that distance, it's always going to be tough to save that chance.
As you can tell, we're a little fired up. The U.S. men's national team loses 2-1 to Panama at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Copa America qualification for the knockout round is in serious doubt. We're going to take a quick break, catch our breaths, and come back with more from Reverb by Hard Rock. It's Atlanta Soccer tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's a special edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live from Reverb by Hard Rock, right across the street from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'm Jason Longshore, joined for this segment by Jessica Charman, talking about the U.S. men's national team falling 2-1 to Panama and now getting through this group in the Copa America looks very, very difficult, as Uruguay is already leading against Bolivia. They should go to 6 points by the end of the night. Panama will be on 3. The U.S. will be on 3. But the U.S. has to go up against Uruguay in the last group stage game. Panama will play Bolivia and be expected to win that one, even without Coco Kaderskia, who was red carded late in this match. Jess, I mean, I think we do have to talk big, big picture here. We kind of got into a little bit of the nuts and bolts in that last segment about this match, but this tournament for the United States men's national team, this is the preparation for the World Cup. You don't have to qualify. You're not going to get a ton of very challenging games between now and the start of the 2026 World Cup. A 2-0 win over Bolivia in the opener, where I thought they played well and maybe could have finished and got a couple more goals on the board. And then this 2-1 loss, what does this say about where U.S. soccer is right now, 2 years out from the World Cup?
Yeah, it's a tough one, because I do think the way that the game shaped up to be, with playing down 10 players for a large proportion of the game, affects the way the U.S. was able to show out. But you've got to have a bit more resilience. You've got to have a game plan in these team in these moments, and you've got to have some strategy to be able to see out against a team. And this isn't to disrespect Panama, but when you look at the caliber of player on the pitch, 11 across 11, you'd expect the U.S. men's national team to be in cruise control in this game. Obviously, the red card throws that a whack. But I thought in that moment, the U.S. had a little bit more, and then particularly when they got the goal very quickly after that red card, to then be able to see out a result. And I think the biggest concern right now is, where does the U.S. go from here? I mean, I'm not trying to rule out the impossible against Uruguay. It's not impossible. Anything is possible, but it's a really difficult task against a side in Uruguay that's already one goal up and was one of the hottest teams coming into this tournament. I mean, you had them reaching the final. I had them reaching the semi-final. It was a hope that the game for the U.S. wouldn't be as pivotal, but now it becomes a must-win game for credibility, but also for momentum, like you say, because with the fact you don't have to qualify for the World Cup and you're not going to get as many tough competitors, this was the preparation, this was the standard set, and now you're getting teams. You spoke about Panama in the last segment. They weren't going to come in respecting the U.S. Well, now you're getting a lot of other teams looking at the U.S. like, well, this is easy pickings for us right now. They're not going to show any guts when they play us.
Yeah, look, the situation's different now. And there is a large portion of it that has to go on the players themselves. But you're not changing them. There is a better depth pool than we've seen in previous generations. I don't know about the top end of it being as good as the U.S. has had maybe in previous World Cup teams. maybe in terms of the top quality, but the overall depth is better. You do have some battles for positions, but you're not changing the roster to get better. And I was in the camp, and I know a lot of people weren't. And look, if you've listened to Atlanta Soccer Tonight over the years, if you listen to Jess and I talk about the game, we're not going to say things just because it's the thing to say to get clicks. We're going to say what we think, and we're going to give you our opinions. I didn't think it was the wrong hire to bring Greg Berhalter back. The players obviously wanted him back. There wasn't another solution that was obviously better.
Grass isn't always greener, I think was the way I spoke about it. Did I think he's the perfect fit? No, but I think that when you don't know what's out there and the pool is very difficult to find managers, you don't want to end up with someone that's worse that the players don't have respect for.
You had to give him the opportunity, in my opinion, and this was the opportunity. And yeah, if I'm Greg Berhalter sitting right now, if they've left, if he's sitting in the coach's office at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I'm furious. I'm angry. I'm throwing things because his job is on the line on Monday in a way that honestly isn't his fault, because I think he made the right decisions in this game. It wasn't a popular decision, but we saw them go to a 5-3-1 in the first half. Gio Reyna dropped into a wingback role, and he's not a prototypical wingback, but he's going to do it the best he can. You had Scally tuck in. You played a 5-3-1. You found ways to get through it. Yeah, you conceded off a deflected goal. It's 1-1 at the break. They made changes to solidify that 5-3-1. It's not the sexy play, but I think it was the pragmatic play where the game was at that point, knowing that a draw would keep you in a pretty good spot to get through. Well, the game got away from you, and I don't think that's on Berhalter's decisions, but this is the sport. This is the job. And now, with this opportunity potentially not going to get to the knockout rounds, I don't think U.S. soccer can gamble that it gets better in 2 years.
No, it's not worth the risk. It's one of those where this was the chance, as you said, and the chance, even if other people have played a role in it happening, and obviously you can't control what rushes of blood players get through their heads or decision-making. As a manager, you live or die by your sword, and that's part of the job. There's high rewards of being the manager of the U.S. men's national team, but that reward comes with the risk of your decisions costing you your job. And as we talk about decisions, I just seen Tim Weah has posted an apology on his social media right now, talking about letting down his team and his country. And I wouldn't want to be in his shoes tonight, because it must be heartbreaking. It reminds me a lot, and it sounds such a silly comparison, but to David Beckham and what happened with the kick out. And it's 100%. Such a tough moment to be that player that had a lot of weight on their shoulders, that was a player that people were excited about in their national team, that goes and makes a very costly decision that has made it a mountain to climb in order to get out this group right now.
It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. It's a special edition breaking down the U.S. men's national team losing 2-1 to Panama at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The Copa America Group C table right now, the live table, has Uruguay at the top with 6 points. They are leading Bolivia at the moment. The U.S. has 3 points from their win over Bolivia. Panama has 3 points from their win tonight. Panama will play Bolivia on Monday at the same time as the U.S.-Uruguay game. Jess, there was a narrative coming into this tournament that the U.S. had to have a signature win. Now, I pushed back on that because the group didn't lend itself to having to have that signature win walking in the door, and you don't know what's going to happen in the knockout rounds. I didn't think that was a fair bar to put for this team. I said they had to get out of the group. Well, the people who had that narrative, they've gotten their wish, because if the U.S. gets that signature win over Uruguay and digs themselves out of this hole that they made themselves, that's a signature win, in my opinion. And that's enough to keep moving with where you are. It really comes down to Monday.
Yeah, it's a pivotal, pivotal result. I mean, if they're able to beat Uruguay, as we talk about a team that's in such form and one of the favorites to lift the trophy, that's a statement. That's a categoric gain. That means they've done everything right. And they may have to do that. I know Matt Turner is right now questionable. I mean, I think that that is actually something I look at as huge. And I know Turner's had his criticisms. And I know that in the Colombia game, a lot of people were pointing fingers at Matt Turner and what level of goalkeeper he was, because obviously as a former goalkeeper, the US has always had goalkeepers I've admired and looked up to. But for me, if Turner's unavailable for that game, that's a huge, huge, difficult statement for the US to be able to overcome. I think his availability for selection would be a massive confidence boost for this side to try and get a result out in Uruguay.
Yeah, and here's the tricky element to this, if you look at it, because I know you jump to the idea that, okay, well, maybe Uruguay would be already clinched to go through after the end of the night. They won't be, because they'd be on 6 points. If they lose and the U.S. wins and Panama wins, that's three teams on 6 points. And that gets extremely complicated in terms of goal differential and all the different permutations that you hate to have things come down to this, but you've seen it over the years with teams and national teams and competitions. I've seen it to where you have that moment that is going to decide the future of the program. That's Monday for this U.S. men's national team with a World Cup on home soil 2 years away. If they win, you might continue with the coaching staff that you have in place now. If they don't get through the group, I just don't know if you can, and I don't think you should.
I hate to ask you this, Jason, but I'm going to.
Do it.
Do you think there's people rooting for the U.S. to lose because they don't like Berhalter that much?
100% there are. I have talked to those people, and it drives me insane because I get the idea that we like to yell at coaches and blame coaches for everything. It's something that happens in every sport. I think in this sport, maybe it happens more a little bit. And I think national team coaches, it happens even more than it should, because you have so many things working against you as a national team manager. Greg Berhalter, for a variety of reasons, has become a, you know, celebrity cause to yell at on social media. And to the point that I have, when watching games in this tournament, been sitting at an establishment and had a U.S. fan say, I'm really torn because I want them to win, but I want them to lose, so Berhalter gets fired.
Oh.
That happened on Sunday. And it's just this, like, I don't have a whole lot of hair to pull out, and I'm wanting to do that. It's just, it drives you crazy. But that's where we are at this point right now. And I'll say it again. I don't think it's fair to Greg Berhalter that he is up against it in this way, because it wasn't his decision on the red card. He didn't tell Tim Weah to do it. It wasn't his decision on not finishing more goals against Bolivia. It wasn't his decision. I think the decisions he made tonight were the correct ones that he had available to him to try to be defensively sound, get out of this thing, even at 1-1, and you can survive and fight on Monday. Now the decisions that he makes going into that game on Monday, which is a must win, and sadly, probably a must win by a couple of goals, it's going to define his future and the future of the U.S. soccer men's program. That's how big Monday is.
This was a turning point, though. It's so crazy to think that this game against Panama, which I think a lot of people, including myself, kind of overlooked as I thought there would be some drama, but I was pretty sure the U.S. would take care of business. And maybe I overlooked and was a little complacent in my view of the opposition, which I shouldn't have been, because they gave Uruguay, yes, they lost 3-1, but they were respectful in terms of their performance and the fight they put up in that game. But this game has turned into the turning point, because it's just changed the trajectory of what this Uruguay game means coming up. And Monday just got a lot hotter to be contested. And I'm going to be watching with that one. Glad that I can call myself a somewhat neutral in the moment.
Yeah, this is going to be a very, very stressful Monday evening as U.S. men's national team has to try to find a way to beat one of the best teams in the world, led by El Loco, Marcelo Bielsa, in a team that is, they make life difficult for the opponent. They're the last team to beat the world champions, Argentina, right now. This is a very difficult game on Monday. But I'll ask you this to end this segment. You know, I've said I think the U.S. has to win for Greg Berhalter to keep his job. How do you feel going into this game about U.S. soccer? And if they don't get the job done in a game where they're going to go in being the underdogs, what should happen?
I mean, I hate to say it, but I really, if I had juice boxes, I'm not putting them on the U.S. And that's not, I'm not trying to be unrealistic here, but based on the manager and the way that Uruguay are playing and the form they find themselves in, the goals they score, and the fact that the U.S. didn't do themselves too many favors in showing how they respond to adversity today and being able to lock down a result and keep defensively sound, I don't think they're going to get a result that they need. And I think that being on home soil in this Copa America, not getting out of the group, which I think was stacked in their favor to get out of, I think it's goodbye to Greg. And we're going to have a lot of people that are probably going to say some very nasty things on social media, as can be guaranteed anytime a decision like that is made.
It's going to be a very crazy next few days in the U.S. soccer universe. We will have a post-game show on Monday at 11 o'clock. It's a 9 p.m. kickoff. We're going to have a lot to talk about over the next few days, Jess, but I really appreciate you taking some time for me tonight. Thank you.
Absolutely, always.
Coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, you're going to hear some post-game audio from Christian Pulisic, from Anthony Robinson, from Gio Reyna, from Mercedes-Benz Stadium after the United States lost to Panama 2-1 in game two of the Copa America, and they have to win now and maybe win by a few goals against Uruguay on Monday to advance. We'll be back with more Atlanta Soccer Tonight right after this on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back at today's matches with Atlanta Soccer Tonight
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, a special edition live from Reverb by Hard Rock right across the street from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Typically a great post-game hangout spot after soccer matches or Atlanta Falcons matches as well, or any big event at the Benz for that matter. A little bit of a muted party here at Reverb because the United States men's national team lost 2-1 tonight to Panama. Actually, the people who are partying are the Panama fans, which surprised me a bit with the turnout from Panama fans. Really impressed with the noise that they were able to make, where they were dramatically outnumbered. It was a very loud pro-U.S. crowd. I was really impressed with the volume of the crowd and the urgency of the crowd, really trying to will this team on after a first half red card to Tim Weah. Goals both ways in the first half, and ultimately a winner late for Panama decides it. I'm Jason Longshore. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app tonight. We have audio from the Benz, from U.S. men's national team players from the mix zone. Thank you so much to Madison Cruz and John Nelson for helping me out with this audio. First up, the U.S. men's national team captain, Christian Pulisic, from the mix zone at the Benz after the 2-1 loss to Panama.
Disappointing, of course. You know, a win tonight would have put us in a great position. And unfortunately, the opposite happened. And just honestly proud of the effort that we responded with after obviously what happened, but just really disappointed that that's the way that we did it. So.
You're referring to the red card specifically about disappointed the way you did it?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's just Timmy knows the mistake he made. That's it. He's going to learn from it. It sucks. It's not the way you want to put your team in that position. It sucks. It hurts. It's just the minimum. It's a lapse of judgment. It's just one simple second. You know, you respond to something. And it sucks. Yeah, disappointing.
That was real talk from Christian Pulisic, the U.S. men's national team captain, after the 2-1 loss to Panama. I thought Pulisic played really well. As I was taking notes in the second half, there were moments where he really looked like the captain's armband elevated him and gave him energy. And like I said just a few minutes ago, the fans gave him energy as well. So many different times USA chants popped up in the building. It felt like a great soccer crowd, and I felt very proud to be there and in my hometown hearing that crowd. In moments where the team needed a lift, I think the fans were really trying to provide it. And you hear the hurt in Christian Pulisic's voice in that, and after that question from Doug Robertson about the just how it felt, I think you hear the pain in his voice. Look, it's easy for all of us, whether it's me with a microphone in front of me, whether it's others who do podcasts, who do soccer shows, who write on blogs or newspapers or websites, all of it. It's easy for all of us to talk about how players need to be better. I said it earlier. I think a lot of this, where the U.S. men's national team is right now, it's on players. It's not intentional. And that hurt in Christian Pulisic's voice. And I think the hurt that he displayed there for his teammate in Tim Weah, who knows better and made a very dumb mistake. And now it puts everything in jeopardy for where this team is, getting out of this tournament, moving on with this group to the World Cup in 2 years. It's all in jeopardy now because of that huge mistake. Here's a little bit more from Christian Pulisic from the mixed zone at Mercedes-Benz Stadium after the 2-1 loss to Panama.
But you did enough to get something out of that game. So, I mean, it was a really good defensive effort for a long time.
Yeah, I was honestly quite proud of how we responded and how we fought and defended. And, you know, obviously Balo with an amazing goal. And, yeah. For the most part, yeah, but again, it's just the result just kind of takes it all away, so it's disappointing.
But this one, talk about the expectations around this group. How much pressure you guys feel to get a result against the wide field?
I don't feel pressure for it. Just like every game. If a win against Uruguay is what we need, then that's what we have to go do. We're privileged to be in this position and have this opportunity to represent our country. I feel lucky to go into games like that, so I'm excited for it.
That's great from Christian Pulisic, because it is a tall ask on Monday to deal with Uruguay, who will be in first place in the group at the end of the evening. They are leading Bolivia at halftime, and they're going to be in charge of this group. A draw for them would allow them to win the group. If they lose, and this is where things get really interesting, and Panama, as expected, beats Bolivia on Monday, if the U.S. does get the win over Uruguay, and they are capable of it, it is going to take a great performance, one that we have not seen from this team maybe outside of Nations League or Gold Cup finals against Mexico. If you get that kind of a performance and you get that signature win that a lot of people have asked for, goal differential will come into play between three teams on 6 points, and it will be complete and utter chaos in terms of who goes through, because there will be a lot of scoreboard watching. Panama will be in a position against the weakest team, although Bolivia would love nothing more than to ruin Panama's day. Bolivia would be the one that, if they can keep the scoreline against Panama down in a game that could end up deciding the U.S. and Uruguay's fates, if the U.S. wins, it just gets into such a chaotic moment in this sport and for the future of this program. And I think you guys know me by now. I am someone who definitely refrains from talking about people's jobs being on the line and what it means, and, you know, guys need to lose their jobs and these things need to change. I do not like those conversations. I think they are overdone. I think it is an easy thing to do, to yell about somebody else in a different job and what they should do better, and they should lose it. I think that's too easy of a thing to do, and I think it's used too often. But you are in a spot now because of what's at stake. You're hosting a World Cup in 2026. I don't know how many more World Cups the U.S. will be able to host in my lifetime. They hosted one in 94. It changed soccer in this country. 2026 will change soccer in this country. You have to take advantage of that opportunity. If there is any question about the U.S. men's national team, and I think there has to be right now, if there is any question about them being able to take advantage of that opportunity, you have to consider making a change. And you have to go and get the best person that you can possibly get. I don't know who that is at the moment. And you don't have a whole lot of time to sit around and wait for that person to materialize. I don't think there's a slam dunk candidate out there. I really don't. You can come up with a list of people. When you get into the realistic aspect of it, I don't know if you're going to find somebody who is obviously better. But this is a different situation than when you gave Greg Berhalter the job again after his run at the World Cup, where I think he did enough to be considered. And if you felt like he was the best person, best choice, okay. No problem with that. But now it's different. This was the measuring stick. And if you don't get out of the group, even if it's not his fault, even if the red card by Tim Weah ends up changing the future of U.S. soccer as we know it, even if that happens, you're going to have to look at making those changes. And that's where the program is after a night like this. That's how much it means. That's how much this result means. That's how much is at stake in these kinds of games. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. It is a bonus edition of the show. Typically, if you are just catching it for the first time, we're Tuesday nights at 10 p.m., but it's the summer of soccer, so we've got special editions going on all week long. We'll be back on Monday night to talk about how this group finishes up. What is next for U.S. soccer after we get through the 90 minutes on Monday night? That's going to be a doozy of a show. I'm going to need to get plenty of rest before that one. We have an Atlanta United game before that on Saturday night as well. We'll talk a little bit about Atlanta United this evening too. But we've got some more audio from the Bens from after the 2-1 loss for the U.S. Here's Gio Reyna talking to reporters in the mix zone after the match.
A lot of positive you can take, but you know, we just sort of got to wake up tomorrow and be ready to go, because you know it's a final for us against Uruguay. So we just have to be ready to go and get 3 points.
Do you guys feel like you have one hand to play despite the red card?
Sorry?
Do you guys feel like you have one hand despite the red card? Do you guys feel like you could have won the game despite the red card?
Yeah, it's hard to say. Of course, they had most of the possession and dominated the game at times, but yeah, we had a few chances.
That's Gio Reyna from a very loud mix zone in the tunnel at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I mean, I'll agree with what Gio said there in that question about do they feel like that they could have won the match even with the red card? Yeah. Like, was it difficult? Absolutely it was. I do think the decisions were correct to go to a 5-man back line. I do think the substitutions at halftime were correct. I do have some serious questions about the lack of a card and potentially a red to Blackman, who scored the first goal for Panama, by the way, when he trucked Matt Turner, ultimately putting him out of the match. Turner was able to finish the first half, but you have to make a change in goal. You have to bring on another center back. You have to secure things, because at that point, everything had to change. At that point with the red card, at that point at halftime, at 1-1, everything had to change. You had to get out of this match without losing. And look, I think this is a mentality, and we've talked a lot about mentality tonight with U.S. soccer and with this team. We've had this conversation when we talk about U.S. youth national teams. We have this conversation when we talk about MLS matches. Mentality in soccer in this country is something that is still improving. And I think this kind of a match is a prime example. I had a conversation on the History of Atlanta Soccer podcast with Atlanta United, where I caught up with Daniel Rios, Atlanta United forward on loan from Chivas de Guadalajara, a player who grew up in the Mexican system. And we were talking about rivalries. And Daniel said something that has really stuck with me. And it comes up in one like this. U.S. and Panama is not a historic rivalry. The game turned into a rivalry feel with all of the shenanigans, with the hit on Turner, with all of the chaos. Daniel said something that has resonated since we had the conversation. And it's about the mentality that I think soccer in this country, we have to learn and we have to accept. This was a match tonight. Of course you wanted to win. Of course, even with the red card, you wanted to win this match because you knew what it meant. You never want to go into a game not trying to win. But when things changed, when the red card happens and you've got to get into survival mode, you go from wanting to win to you cannot lose. And this goes back to Jess and I's conversation earlier in the show. When you're in that spot and you're defending under pressure and Panama's got 75% of the ball and they've got you pinned in, I think Jess used a term that you might not be familiar with, welly the ball out of there. It's a very English term. I like it. It's one that I don't feel really comfortable saying. You've got to, let's go with the American version of welly. You've got to hoof it. You've got to put the ball into the 200 level. You've got to survive and fight another day. And Anthony Robinson tried to pick out a pass. And I understand it because he was so successful at moments. I thought he was, honestly, over the entire match, I thought he was the best player for the U.S. men's national team. But that decision kept that sequence alive for Panama, and they end up finding the goal that now has put U.S. soccer on a completely different trajectory going into Monday. Folarin Balogun, even a man down, got the opening goal. It was a great hit from Balogun. I said he needed to do something big in this match. He did. 22nd minute. But then you conceded 4 minutes later to Blackman off of a deflection. It deflected off of Richards, beats Turner. That made it 1-1. You get to halftime, you make changes. It was the right play to go into that defensively and try to get out of the half. Try to get out of the 90 minutes. Try to get out of there with 1 point, giving you more outs on Monday against the top team in Uruguay. Well, you conceded because you didn't have the mentality in those moments. Tim Weah didn't have the mentality to deal with whatever caused them to swing at a player. He gets a red card. You don't get the ball clear. You give up a goal. And that trajectory that U.S. soccer is on is now looking dramatically different. We'll see what happens. We're going to talk a little bit more. We've got another hour of Atlanta soccer tonight as we are on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. We'll be right back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Taking a look back at today's matches with Atlanta Soccer Tonight
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, a special edition live from Reverb by Hard Rock right across the street from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Typically a great post-game hangout spot after soccer matches or Atlanta Falcons matches as well, or any big event at the Benz for that matter. A little bit of a muted party here at Reverb because the United States men's national team lost 2-1 tonight to Panama. Actually, the people who are partying are the Panama fans, which surprised me a bit with the turnout from Panama fans. Really impressed with the noise that they were able to make, where they were dramatically outnumbered. It was a very loud pro-U.S. crowd. I was really impressed with the volume of the crowd and the urgency of the crowd, really trying to will this team on after a first half red card to Tim Weah. Goals both ways in the first half, and ultimately a winner late for Panama decides it. I'm Jason Longshore. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app tonight. We have audio from the Benz, from U.S. men's national team players from the mix zone. Thank you so much to Madison Cruz and John Nelson for helping me out with this audio. First up, the U.S. men's national team captain, Christian Pulisic, from the mix zone at the Benz after the 2-1 loss to Panama.
Disappointing, of course. A win tonight would have put us in a great position. And unfortunately, the opposite happened. And honestly proud of the effort that we responded with after obviously what happened, but just really disappointed that that's the way that we did it. So.
You're referring to the red card specifically about disappointed the way you did it?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's just Timmy knows the mistake he made. That's it. He's going to learn from it. It sucks. It's not the way you want to put your team in that position. It sucks. It hurts. It's just the minimum. It's a lapse of judgment. It's just one simple second. You respond to something. And it sucks. Yeah, disappointing.
That was real talk from Christian Pulisic, the U.S. men's national team captain, after the 2-1 loss to Panama. I thought Pulisic played really well. As I was taking notes in the second half, there were moments where he really looked like the captain's armband elevated him and gave him energy. And like I said just a few minutes ago, the fans gave him energy as well. So many different times USA chants popped up in the building. Felt like a great soccer crowd, and I felt very proud to be there and in my hometown hearing that crowd. In moments where the team needed a lift, I think the fans were really trying to provide it. And you hear the hurt in Christian Pulisic's voice in that, and after that question from Doug Robertson about just how it felt, I think you hear the pain in his voice. look, it's easy for all of us, whether it's me with a microphone in front of me, whether it's others who do podcasts, who do soccer shows, who write on blogs or newspapers or websites, all of it. It's easy for all of us to talk about how players need to be better. I said it earlier. I think a lot of this, where the U.S. men's national team is right now, it's on players. It's not intentional. And that hurt in Christian Pulisic's voice. And I think the hurt that he displayed there for his teammate in Tim Weah, who knows better and made a very dumb mistake. And now it puts everything in jeopardy for where this team is, getting out of this tournament, moving on with this group to the World Cup in 2 years. It's all in jeopardy now because of that huge mistake. Here's a little bit more from Christian Pulisic from the mixed zone at Mercedes-Benz Stadium after the 2-1 loss to Panama.
But you did enough to get something out of that game. So, I mean, it was a really good defensive effort for a long time.
Yeah, I was honestly quite proud of how we responded and how we fought and defended. And, you know, obviously Balo with an amazing goal. And yeah, for the most part, yeah. But again, it's just the result just kind of takes it all away. So it's disappointing.
I just want to talk about the expectations around this group. How much pressure you guys deal to get a result against the wide field?
I don't feel pressure for it. Just like every game, if a win against Uruguay is what we need, then that's what we have to go do. We're privileged to be in this position and have this opportunity to represent our country. I feel lucky to go into games like that, so I'm excited for it.
That's great from Christian Pulisic, because it is a tall ask on Monday to deal with Uruguay, who will be in first place in the group at the end of the evening. They are leading Bolivia at halftime, and they're going to be in charge of this group. A draw for them would allow them to win the group. If they lose, and this is where things get really interesting, and Panama, as expected, beats Bolivia on Monday, if the U.S. does get the win over Uruguay, and they are capable of it, it is going to take a great performance, one that we have not seen from this team, maybe outside of Nations League or Gold Cup finals against Mexico. If you get that kind of a performance and you get that signature win that a lot of people have asked for, goal differential will come into play between three teams on 6 points. And it will be complete and utter chaos in terms of who goes through, because there will be a lot of scoreboard watching. Panama will be in a position against the weakest team, although Bolivia would love nothing more than to ruin Panama's day. Bolivia would be the one that, if they can keep the scoreline against Panama down in a game that could end up deciding the U.S. and Uruguay's fates, if the U.S. wins, it just gets into such a chaotic moment in this sport and for the future of this program. And I think you guys know me by now. I am someone who definitely refrains from talking about people's jobs being on the line and what it means, and, you know, guys need to lose their jobs, and these things need to change. I do not like those conversations. I think they are overdone. I think it is an easy thing to do, to yell about somebody else in a different job and what they should do better, and they should lose it. I think that's too easy of a thing to do, and I think it's used too often. But you are in a spot now because of what's at stake. You're hosting a World Cup in 2026. I don't know how many more World Cups the U.S. will be able to host in my lifetime. They hosted one in 94. It changed soccer in this country. 2026 will change soccer in this country. You have to take advantage of that opportunity. If there is any question about the U.S. men's national team, and I think there has to be right now, if there is any question about them being able to take advantage of that opportunity, you have to consider making a change. And you have to go and get the best person that you can possibly get. I don't know who that is at the moment. and you don't have a whole lot of time to sit around and wait for that person to materialize. I don't think there's a slam dunk candidate out there. I really don't. You can come up with a list of people when you get into the realistic aspect of it. I don't know if you're going to find somebody who is obviously better, but this is a different situation than when you gave Greg Berhalter the job again after his run at the World Cup, where I think he did enough to be considered. And if you felt like he was the best person, best choice, okay, no problem with that. But now it's different. This was the measuring stick. And if you don't get out of the group, even if it's not his fault, even if the red card by Tim Weah ends up changing the future of U.S. soccer as we know it, even if that happens, you're going to have to look at making those changes. And that's where the program is after a night like this. That's how much it means. That's how much this result means. That's how much is at stake in these kinds of games. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. It is a bonus edition of the show. Typically, if you are just catching it for the first time, we're Tuesday nights at 10 p.m., but it's the summer of soccer, so we've got special editions going on all week long. We'll be back on Monday night to talk about how this group finishes up. What is next for U.S. soccer after we get through the 90 minutes on Monday night? That's going to be a doozy of a show. I'm going to need to get plenty of rest before that one. We have an Atlanta United game before that on Saturday night as well. We'll talk a little bit about Atlanta United this evening too. But we've got some more audio from the Bens from after the 2-1 loss for the U.S. Here's Gio Reyna talking to reporters in the mix zone after the match.
A lot of positive you can take, but you know, we just sort of got to wake up tomorrow and be ready to go because, you know, it's a final for us against Uruguay. So we just have to be ready to go and get 3 points.
Do you guys feel like you have won it despite the red card?
Sorry?
Do you guys feel like you have won it despite the red card? Do you guys feel like you could have won the game despite the red card?
Yeah, it's hard to say. Of course, they had most of the possession and dominated the game at times, but yeah, we had a few chances.
That's Gio Reyna from a very loud mix zone in the tunnel at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I mean, I'll agree with what Gio said there in that question about do they feel like that they could have won the match even with the red card? Yeah. Like, was it difficult? Absolutely it was. I do think the decisions were correct to go to a 5-man back line. I do think the substitutions at halftime were correct. I do have some serious questions about the lack of a card and potentially a red to Blackman, who scored the first goal for Panama, by the way, when he trucked Matt Turner, ultimately putting him out of the match. Turner was able to finish the first half, but you have to make a change in goal. You have to bring on another center back. You have to secure things because at that point, everything had to change. At that point with the red card, at that point at halftime, at 1-1, everything had to change. You had to get out of this match without losing. And look, I think this is a mentality, and we've talked a lot about mentality tonight with U.S. soccer and with this team. We've had this conversation when we talk about U.S. youth national teams. We have this conversation when we talk about MLS matches. Mentality in soccer in this country is something that is still improving. And I think this kind of a match is a prime example. I had a conversation on the History of Atlanta Soccer podcast with Atlanta United, where I caught up with Daniel Rios, Atlanta United forward on loan from Chivas de Guadalajara, a player who grew up in the Mexican system. And we were talking about rivalries. And Daniel said something that has really stuck with me. And it comes up in one like this. U.S. and Panama is not a historic rivalry. The game turned into a rivalry feel with all of the shenanigans, with the hit on Turner, with all of the chaos. Daniel said something that has resonated since we had the conversation. And it's about the mentality that I think soccer in this country, we have to learn and we have to accept. This was a match tonight. Of course you wanted to win. Of course, even with the red card, you wanted to win this match because you knew what it meant. You never want to go into a game not trying to win. But when things changed, when the red card happens and you've got to get into survival mode, you go from wanting to win to you cannot lose. And this goes back to Jess and I's conversation earlier in the show. When you're in that spot and you're defending under pressure and Panama's got 75% of the ball and they've got you pinned in, I think Jess used a term that you might not be familiar with, welly the ball out of there. It's a very English term. I like it. It's one that I don't feel really comfortable saying. You've got to, let's go with the American version of welly. You've got to hoof it. You've got to put the ball into the 200 level. You've got to survive and fight another day. And Anthony Robinson tried to pick out a pass. And I understand it because he was so successful at moments. I thought he was, honestly, over the entire match, I thought he was the best player for the U.S. men's national team. But that decision kept that sequence alive for Panama, and they end up finding the goal that now has put U.S. soccer on a completely different trajectory going into Monday. Folarin Balogun, even a man down, got the opening goal. It was a great hit from Balogun. I said he needed to do something big in this match. He did. 22nd minute. But then you conceded 4 minutes later to Blackman off of a deflection. It deflected off of Richards. Beats Turner. That made it 1-1. You get to halftime. You make changes. It was the right play to go into that defensively and try to get out of the half. Try to get out of the 90 minutes. Try to get out of there with 1 point. Giving you more outs on Monday against the top team in Uruguay. Well, you conceded because you didn't have the mentality in those moments. Tim Weah didn't have the mentality to deal with whatever caused them to swing at a player. He gets a red card. You don't get the ball clear. You give up a goal. And that trajectory that U.S. soccer is on is now looking dramatically different. We'll see what happens. We're going to talk a little bit more. We've got another hour of Atlanta soccer tonight as we are on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. We'll be right back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!